He's looking for my worship. He's looking for your worship this morning. Amen. And our Lord said that those that must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we worship Him according to His word and according as just as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen. Amen. Are you thankful for His leadership in your life? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our brother Doug is taking a little much deserved rest this weekend, but he'll be back with us on Wednesday. And then, as you know, we have the youth camp coming up next weekend. So as he announced, I believe it was Wednesday, that there will be no service next Sunday morning. So you can show up if you want to, but the doors won't be open. Amen. So next Sunday morning, there will be no service. I believe we will be having service next Sunday evening, however. So look forward to that. But just be in prayer for the meetings up on Mount Lemmon. We already saw the first fruits of it as the fire was soundly drenched. Amen. But the forecast calls for more drenching, and you know there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. So, amen. And prayers in the natural, just for those that will be setting aside their time and working at the camp, and then of course all the young people that are coming. Of course, you know, we have many here, but there are many coming from other churches and out of town and so forth and traveling. And so we just pray that the Lord will give them a great big blessing, amen, and that God will use the men of God, the gifts, and use you know, through His Spirit, that He will bless and convict and touch and heal and minister to every need that is in those young people's lives this weekend, and that He will be glorified. Amen. God is raising up a new generation. Amen. And we have to do our part to, you know, I was thinking about this week, and you'll see why it'll fit into the message this morning. But, you know, we're born as human beings, and there are certain things that we just do because we are of that nature, right? We don't act like, we shouldn't act like animals, right? We act like humans. That's part of the instincts that God has given us as human beings. But then there's other behaviors that we have to learn, and there are things that have to be modeled to us and lived before us and taught to us, so that we can walk into those things. And so that's certainly we take our young people and we bring them up, and we do what we can to get them to a new birth in Jesus Christ. But then even after they're born again, there's a modeling and a teaching and a discipling that must happen as they're brought up in Christ. And so that's just not just for young people, that's for baby Christians too. So but we just want that. Pray that camp will be a blessing. It's something that's been on Brother Baker's heart for years and years and years. And so it seems that the Lord has made a way for us to be able to do that. And so we really covet your prayers for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you'd like to stand, I invite you to turn over to the scripture. We're going to read a single verse here to get us started. I'd like to take the topic of walking as a son. Walking as a son, and this will be two parts here. Part one here this morning, and part two, Lord willing, tonight. And so this morning I'm going to just kind of preach to you a little while. We don't have a lot of scriptures or a lot of statements or quotes or anything to read this morning. We'll get to that tonight. I've got a lot for tonight, but this morning I just a simple little thought that's on my heart. That I hope that you walk away contemplating it and praying about it. And that we can come to the service tonight then having that question answered, and then walk into what God has for us tonight. So when I do that, you just never know where we're going to go with that this morning. So we'll just get your seatbelt on and we'll go. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Amen. Jesus has come to the river to be baptized by John the Baptist. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are looking to you this morning, Lord, for our daily bread, Lord. We're looking to you for every need that we have in our hearts, Lord, in our lives, in our spirit, Lord, and in our soul this morning. And Father, I just pray that you would minister, Lord, to your children, Lord. Father, that you would speak to us lip to ear this morning. Father, that this might not just be mere words that go forth, Lord, but that it would be your word that has life and is a carrier of eternal things. And Lord, I pray that it would stir up our hearts, Lord. Is it the things, Lord, that you've been stirring up my heart with, Lord, as a burden, Father, I pray that you would stir up your children's hearts here this morning. Lord, we realize that we can't stay where we are at in our walks right now, Lord. We need to come higher. We need to move on. We can't stay at this spot in the wilderness. The pillar of fire is moving on, and we must move on with you, Lord. We must move on higher. And Lord, I pray that this service this morning would just be a step, Lord, moving up higher into heavenly places. Be with us, Lord. Take complete control, Lord. We surrender to you completely, and we're asking you to have your way, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So our subject here today is walking as a son. And, you know, I put that title as a son because I am a son, right? But if you're a daughter, it's walking as a daughter, okay? It would be a little lengthy to say walking as a son or a daughter, but you just assume that when I say walking as a son, it's walking as a daughter as well, all right? We're not excluding you. It's just that I happen to be a son. All right, is everybody okay with that? So, you know, and I picked that title very specifically because the Bible says that we are children of God. But sometimes when we use that word, a child or children, we, in our modern way of using that, we think of little ones, immature, right? But we're talking about sons or daughters, and we're talking about the full spectrum of maturity. Amen? So a child is not just a child as in a little one, but it is also a mature son of God. All right? So walking as a son. So in this scripture that we have just read, there's a statement in it that's been burning in my heart for the last couple weeks. The Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, has come and he has put his stamp of approval on a man. Now, Jesus Christ was God with us, Emmanuel, but he was a man. Is that right? And he's coming down and he's kicking off Jesus' ministry with these words. This is how he's commissioning him and sending him out. This, he says, "Thou art my beloved son." He's speaking to him. "You are my beloved son. I am well pleased. In thee, I am well pleased." And we know that Brother Branham said that in different renderings, in different places, that it is, you could translate it, I am well pleased to dwell in, right? In other words, I am well pleased to go with you, to be in you. I'm pleased with you, right? Now, this is at the beginning of his ministry, and later in the capping of his ministry at the Mount of Transfiguration, we see the same words uttered again. Where he says, "This is my beloved son," but he says, "Hear ye him." Amen. So this is something that is important in Jesus Christ's ministry on earth. God the Father affirming it at the beginning of his ministry and at the climax of his ministry. He's letting everyone know. He speaks to him, then he speaks to the listener. Amen? He says to him, "You are my beloved son." And in the end he says, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." My beloved son, well pleased to dwell in, to walk in, to represent him. He was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was the vessel that the Father was using to reveal himself to the world. He was going to put God, the fullness of God, on display. That was the vessel he was using as his representative, and not just as the prophets had been, where it was a portion of God. It was all of God. He was going to put on display the Father's love, the Father's care, the Father's power. Amen? And God the Father said that pleased him. Hallelujah. Amen. So we, you know, as Christians in Christianity, we tend to easily recognize Christ's position as Emmanuel, or as Savior, as Lord, as God with us. Amen. As the Messiah, the promised one. But do we think about his position as a son? I'm not like the Trinitarians, right, who say because he was the son, he's a distinct and different person. But he did have a position as the Son of God, right? And so that's what we want to look at today. How does a son walk? How does the son walk? And by looking at how the son walks, we should be able to know how a son will walk. Amen. Praise God. How would a man walk on the earth in perfect relationship with the Father? How would he walk with God walking in him? Jesus was our role model. Amen. We got a lot of role models today. People look up, people naturally want to find a role model. They naturally look for people to look up to model themselves after. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, if you want to get better at something or you want to achieve something, find somebody who's done it before and look at how they did it. Right? And the problem in our society and problem in the world is that, you know, we've got crazy role models. For some reason, people think that, you know, I think Brother Doug was even talking about this Wednesday night, right? Why in the world does some guy who acts like another person become a role model? Now, if you want to go into acting, okay, I could kind of see that. Maybe pattern the way that you act or whatever after them. But just as a general, you know, that's somebody that I look up to. That's crazy. And somehow athletes have become a role model. Like, why does our society feel that an athlete, you know, why do we hold them to some high moral standard? Oh, they're a role model. They should know better. Well, why? Just because they can play a game? Our role models should be godly men and women. Amen. We should look up to them, look at what God is doing in their life. See how God has moved, learn from their mistakes. But our ultimate role model is Jesus Christ himself. Is that right? And he lived his life to be that for us. That is why we have this Bible. That's why we have the written record of how he lived and how Paul lived and how Peter lived, so that they could be our role models. Now, if that's true, then that means that there is a life that can be lived. So we should spend time studying that role model, don't you think? Amen? When was the last time you went through your Bible and read every miracle that Jesus did and everything that Jesus faced and every trial that he came up against? He's your role model. How he faced trials is how you should face trials. He showed us how a son of God should walk on this earth. He showed us how one would live that has perfect revelation that they are a son of God. Now, I just said something great big right there. Amen? Without a shred of doubt that he is a son. We know that he lived without sin. Amen? And we know that our prophet taught us that sin is unbelief. Right? Doubt in God's word, unbelief. And if the word said that he was the son, in fact, the Father himself told him. Amen? He's the son of God. That means he lived his life without a shred of doubt of who he was. Oh, yes, he could be tempted. Sure. Tempted with doubt, yet without sin. He never once doubted who he was. He never once doubted that he was the Son of God and that he was beloved of the Father. That he was loved unconditionally by God the Father. What would our lives look like if we lived that way? Just with that simple thing. What would your... Think about your life. How would you live your life if you knew every waking moment of the day without any doubt that you were a son or a daughter? I'm going to say son, okay? Of God. And that you were beloved of the Father unconditionally. Without any doubt. He said, I know that, man. The Bible says that. You're not telling me anything I don't know, but do you believe it really? So the question that I want to put before you, and I gave my wife a little preview of this, is a question that's been on my heart this week. This simple question that I'll ask you. Do you believe that you are pleasing to God? Just let that settle a moment. Do you believe that you are pleasing to God? And not just, yeah, I know the Bible says that. No, do you believe it? Do you believe that you are pleasing to God? Go ahead, think about it. I'll wait. John 8:28. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. We should be able to walk saying this. If you have any hesitation or doubt that you are pleasing to the Father, then that is a hindrance in your walk. Amen. How can you walk with him in the intimacy that he wants you to if you're wondering, does he love me? Is he pleased with me? How can you face a demon face to face with a little doubt or question in your heart on your relationship with God? In our case, we are unable in ourselves to walk in this statement that Jesus made where he said, I always do the things that please him. You and I can't say that. We can't say that everything I've ever done pleases him. Right? Not in ourselves. But Jesus did that. He walked that. He lived that life. Amen? And we are in him. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that he lived that kind of life. No one could, he said, who can convince me of sin? Amen. Is there anybody that can challenge him? And there wasn't. He could say that I always do those things that pleases the Father. But brother, sister, if we are in him, we can have that same testimony that I have that same pure righteousness. And yes, I do things occasionally that would not be pleasing to the Father, but if I put it under the blood, if I put it under the umbrella, if I put it under the headship and the covering and the annihilating power of the blood of Christ, then all he sees is that one that did walk and did everything that pleases him. This is the confidence that we have in our Savior. Amen. That he walked as a perfect son. Always pleasing the Father. That perfect obedient life of Christ envelops and covers you and I. It surrounds us completely, enveloping us, and so that the Father only sees that perfection. Perfect obedience. So that if he was pleasing, we are pleasing. Amen. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Who is God pleased with? Who is beloved in his sight? How are we accepted in the beloved? It's by grace alone and not performance. Amen. Amen. So that's the confidence that we must have. As a son, the first of the beloved was Christ. Amen? He was the first that God was fully pleased with. And now we are accepted into that beloved by grace through faith. But if we're looking at a performance, we would say, no, I'm not pleasing to God. But that's not what God is looking at. Hallelujah. So who are the beloved? Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Conformed to the image of his son. The one that walked as a son. The one that lived in perfect harmony with the Father. The one that did all things that are pleasing to God. Look at this. So he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Them he justified, he also has glorified. What shall we say then to these things? This is where it comes down to walking as a son. What shall we say then to these things? Right? Well, if you don't have a revelation of your sonship, what you say to these things is a different answer. Amen? But if you have a revelation of God's complete pleasure with you, he is pleased to dwell with you, and you are his son, unapologetically, amen, then you can finish that scripture and say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. But we're conformed to the image of his son. He is our model. He is our example. He is the one that we walk like. Isn't that what Christian means? One who is like Christ? He is the pattern for all sons and daughters to walk hereafter, because he's the only one that walked perfectly. He walked in confidence of his position, and that pleased the Father. Now, you know, I was thinking about work situations. I happen to have people report to me. I'm in a middle position, right? I have people that report to me and I report to others. So I'm caught right in the middle. And so I understand how supervision works from both ends. I understand what I want to see from my team, my subordinates. And so I take that and I apply that to working for my superiors. But in work situations, one of the most empowering things for an employee is for them to know that their boss has their back no matter what. No matter what. That they're not going to, as we say, throw them under the bus. Right? That they're not, that the boss isn't going to put their own image above, you know, the needs of the team. And I've always personally, you know, tried to adhere to a philosophy where I always take the blame for anything that goes wrong with my team. Now, if it was one of them, they're going to hear about it. You know, I will make sure that they hear about it from me. But they're not going to hear, but nobody else is going to know about that necessarily. Right? I'm going to take the blame for the team because I lead it. But they'll get chastised. They'll get corrected, but it's for their good. So they don't do it again, right? It's to help them to improve. And then if there's an image problem or blame, well, that falls on me. Well, isn't God so much more greater than that even? And, you know, we think of Christianity, you know, and we look at different religions of the world, and so much of what we call Christianity is just like any other religion, where it's just a covering or a duty or you know, something like that. But really, what God is revealing to us through his word is family. It's relationship. It's not religion and duty. It's actually about relationship. And when you think of the relationship between a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, you know, when we gather in the evening to have our evening meal, I don't stop my children and say, okay, I want you to tell me all of the good things that you've done today. What did you accomplish? Right? Because you're not going to eat at this table if you don't measure up. You can't have the blessings of a son unless you've, you know, tell me what you've done today. Have you done this work and this good deed and this thing and that thing? Did you do this and stay away from that? And right, I don't do that. They're my children. They're my son and my daughter. Come and receive of the blessings of the family and of the Father because of their position. Amen. Especially if they've had a bad day. Maybe they've really fallen and failed and whatever. Well, I want them to come. Come sup with me. Right? Let's talk about it. How can we help you? We should have that support in the family, but how much more our Heavenly Father? Amen. He is our Father. We should feel confident in our relationship to Him. Amen. So Jesus, after He receives this word of God, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am pleased." After He receives that word, He's immediately tempted. Goes into the wilderness for 40 days. The Bible says He is tempted of Satan for 40 days in the wilderness. Fasting the entire time. Goes through a great trial. And what does Satan come to Him with? "If thou be a prophet, if thou be the Son of God." Because He was standing there at the bank when the Father came down and says, "This is my beloved Son. This is my Son." Amen. And that's what He challenged him on. If you really are a son, then do this. If you really are a son, turn these stones into bread. Right? If you are a son of God, He says, cast yourself down. The angels will bear you up. And then after all that, He says, bow down and worship me. Amen? Looking for the worship of a son. In this case, the son. Now, if He did not have a pure revelation of who He was as the Son of God, would He have been able to stand that temptation? You and I will not. We must have that. That must just be so part of our being. We cannot stand the temptations of the enemy. When he comes to challenge you, you must know and be able to answer that question. And not from a mental understanding. Not just saying, I believe. No, you've got to know it. Satan is a worthy adversary. And he knows that any son of God has authority over him. Has the power of heaven behind him. And is a challenge to his kingdom. And so that's where he makes his attack. Are you sure? You know, because a son really wouldn't have done that. A son wouldn't have failed that way. Are you sure? Right? And he plants little seeds of doubt. But Jesus was tested as a son in order that it might sink down into a rock, bedrock, foundational revelation in his life. Amen. He had to know his position, and so do we. Hebrews 5:5 says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." But it says, though he were a son, he was a son, today I've begotten thee, he's been spoken as a priest, but it says, even though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now that word learned is, you know, there's different ways that that word would be used, right? You could say, oh, I just learned this morning that Brother Doug isn't here, right? And that's information that you didn't have before that you have now. But there's another form of that word learned that is to gain deeper understanding by use and practice. It's not that you just got some new information, but by use and practice, you have experienced and learned something. Amen. Jesus, our example, learned by use and practice that he was a son. He walked a walk of testing through suffering. And the Bible says that he learned that obedience through that which he suffered. He was able to practice obedience. Amen. And demonstrate it for you and I. Hallelujah. Because, brother, sister, the testing just proves what's there. And it just takes what's there and it makes it more sure. This is not like one of those multiple choice testing kind of tests, right? Where you guess your way through it. I've been through some of those. I didn't really know, but man, I'm a good guesser. And I passed the test. See, God's tests are not that way. They're not multiple choice tests where you can guess and pass. His type of testing that he allows to come in our life is because he's told us something about ourselves. He's revealed something about us in his word. Amen. He's revealed to you that you're a son or daughter, and he allows the test to come to prove that in a greater way, to make it more sure. The best tests I took in school were tests that I knew I had a more firm grasp on the subject when I finished the tests. I remember taking those kind of tests. I learned it. I went to lectures. I learned it. We did labs. I learned it. And then I took the test. The testing time came. And I took all of that information that I had learned in labs and lectures and homework and books and whatever. And now there were real problems that I had to solve in the test. And as I began to solve the problems, when I walked, I remember having, it was the strangest feeling. I felt good coming out of a test. I was like, man, I have a more firm grasp and I'm more confident that I know this stuff when I walked out of the test. That's the way that God tests his children. Amen. Hallelujah. The testing is a way to prove what you're made of. Think about what Jesus went through. Would you be able to stand lawyers and scribes and Pharisees coming up to you and challenging you? Challenging you not just on some theory of the word, but also on who you are. Who you are in the scripture. These were the most learned religious men of the day. And would you have been able to stand up to that without getting frustrated? Amen? Jesus was able to confront them. And by that confrontation, what he was made of came out. Think about that. We would not have seen certain attributes in him if there weren't Pharisees to confront him. If there weren't lawyers and scribes and Sadducees, we wouldn't have seen a certain side of him. Is that right? Brother Doug was preaching Wednesday night about Simon and how Jesus was treated at Simon's house. We wouldn't have seen that side of Jesus if that hadn't happened to him. If there hadn't been a Simon to mistreat him. we wouldn't have seen his long suffering, but yet his tenderness to the harlot woman. Because of those things that he went through, yet his knowledge, he never lost track of the fact that he was a son of God. He was there for a purpose. And so it didn't fluster him. How many of us would have been like, so, you know, man, he didn't talk to me and he didn't wash my feet and I'm out of here. Right? But he knew who he was. And so we got to see a humility. Amen. We got to see something of God being revealed in that trial that he went through. Brother, sister, think about the New Testament, the four Gospels. Do you ever recall a moment or a verse or anything in those Testaments that indicates that Jesus was ever afraid? Think about that. Even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, headed to his death, the most gruesome death, it wasn't fear, right? He was agonizing because he was going to be facing this horrible thing. He was going to be taking on the sin. He was going to be separated from God, but it never says that he was walking in fear. Jesus didn't walk in fear. He walked in a life without fear. Shouldn't we walk in a life without fear? So that sounds kind of simple. Really? Money changers? Amen. He goes into the temple and, you know, ties together some ropes, makes a whip. How would we have seen that aspect of God without that trial, that situation that he was put into? I call it a trial, but it was a situation that he was cast into. Right? Now, brother, sister, I want to say something. I think I've said it here before, but this is really important in this context this morning. We have a hard time discerning between things that men do and accomplish in their ministry or their calling or their lives or whatever. We have a hard time discerning between their office, their anointing, their calling, their ministry, and their position. And what I mean by that is this. Jesus was the Son of God. He was a prophet, right? He was a prophet. He was the prophet, right? He was the Messiah. He was the one that was anointed to be the Savior of the world. He had all the fullness of God dwelling in him bodily, right? Now, there are other men that have special anointings. Our prophet. This is a prime example. He was a prophet. He was a church age messenger. He had the spirit of Elijah, that anointing. He had gifts of healing. Right? He had many gifts. Right? And so, other ministers. A pastor has a gift and an anointing that goes with that office. Maybe a pastor would have a gift of healing or something like that. But we must be able to see the works that are done by the anointing and the office, and the works that are done simply because they are a child of God. Let me explain that further. Healing is a great example. Jesus was a prophet. He healed people. He was God. He healed people. Right? Brother Branham had the gift of healing. God used him to heal people. Right? But we know that the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. So I would ask you, did he heal them because of the fact that he was the Messiah or just because he was a son of God? Well, he sent out his disciples, and what did they do? They healed people and cast out demons. So apparently that wasn't special for the Messiah. That wasn't special even for a prophet. Do you see what I mean? People have a hard time, especially with Brother Branham, because people want to sit back and just say, well, yeah, that happened in his life because, well, he was the prophet. And, you know, I mean, church age messenger, you know, and the rest of us, well, we just sit back and as long as we know that, hey, that's the prophet and, yep, I recognize that's him. And, you know, hey, if I receive a prophet, I receive a prophet's reward. And they check out because they put it all on him because they say, well, that's because of this and this and this. Not because, hey, he's just a son of God. Because that means that you and I would have to live up to that too. It means people make excuses why they can't walk in those things. Because they say, oh, they'll look at Jesus' life and say, well, yeah, that was God. He walked that way because, duh, you know. But me? He was the prophet. Right, and they put that office, they place things into that office that really should be everywhere. Every child of God. Now, you are not going to go be crucified and die for the sins of the world. Right? That was specific to his office and his ministry. You understand the difference? Speak to the storm. He asked the disciples, where's your faith? How about multiply the loaves and fishes? He says, why do you do it? Brother Branham tells the story of a woman in one of his meetings. You probably recall the story. She saw a woman with a little baby, I think a girl it was, a little one anyway, who was sick and needed prayer, and she felt the Holy Spirit compelling her to pray for that little one. Right? And if you remember what her attitude was. Her attitude was, I can't pray for her. Brother Branham is going to pray for her. Who am I to pray for her? He's going to pray for her. But the Holy Spirit kept moving on her and compelling her and telling her to pray for that child. And if you know the story, finally she did. And she got in the prayer line and went up. And the prophet under discernment says, you are already healed. He didn't need to pray for her. That woman who was just a daughter of God. She didn't have an office. She wasn't a prophet. But she was a child of the living God. This is why Brother Branham in his meetings would have everybody, you lay your hands on the one next to you. Hallelujah. We don't have to have a gift of healing to pray for people to be healed. We don't have to have any certain office to walk as a son or a daughter of God. That is the highest position in God's economy except for God himself. That just kind of, right? Jesus say, oh, well, Jesus, of course, he walked and he never feared because he was God. Who's going to hurt God? Who's going to do anything to God? No, he walked without fear because he knew his position as a son of God. A son of God does not need to walk in fear. Why are we hitting on fear? I don't know. The same life is in you. Won't it live the same way? You don't have to be subject to fear. Yes, the emotion and the anointing of fear may try and come upon you. But you don't have to walk in fear. Jesus didn't. And that is enough for you to say, I don't have to. So don't confuse the life that was lived for the ministry that was performed. All right? Jesus also taught us how to pray as a son. He taught us about his relationship with the Father, not coming to him as a beggar, but coming to him as one who's related, one who's beloved, one who has the ear of his Father, one who is pleased with him. To pray to the Father who knows our needs and has promised to provide every need that we have. He lived his life as a son that when challenged, he knew who his Father was. They said, we know who our Father is. We're the children of Abraham. And he said, you are of your father, the devil. Because if you really were a child of Abraham, you would receive the word that I'm speaking to you now. Because I am the Son of God. I have the word of God. Right? He had that boldness. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we have that kind of confidence? When leprosy comes, you're faced with leprosy right in your face. Maybe we don't face leprosy in this day and age, but we could face some pretty bad things. Any kind of nasty disease that's contagious. Or leprosy as a type of sin coming right in your face. You're faced with it and someone says, set me free. Amen. You're not afraid to face that thing down. You're not afraid to step into a situation where you might be exposed to something. Because you know who your Father is. Amen. And you're walking so close to him. That you know that he's got your back. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When the storms of life come your way, you just say, peace be still. I'm a son. I'm a chip off the block that created you, wind and waves. And I'm speaking to you now. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, sister, what would you do if you were faced with a man that was demon-possessed and he said, my name is Legion, for we are many? What would you do? You say, oh, I don't know, I got to get my pastor to pray for you. Maybe we'll get some of the brothers, you know, sister, maybe you should pray for him. Would it strike fear in your heart if you were faced with that? Man, getting quiet in here. The message of the harvest time. Brother Branham says, we as Christians are only reflecting him. The moon only reflects the sun in its absence. And the believer only reflects the Son of God in the absence of the Son of God. It's the light of the Bible, the scriptures, being vindicated in our lives. The word that makes light in darkness. You are candles that sets on a hill. That ain't the sun, it's a candle. The candle just takes the place of the sun. Just shows a certain amount of light. We are God's children. We are sons and daughters of God only by the Spirit with portion. He had it without portion. We are a star that's shining, and all of us together make a light to the world. But He is the entire sun that reflects the light to every star. Hallelujah. I believe Him. God help my unbelief. Hallelujah. We are a portion. We have the Spirit with measure. Is that right? A portion of His life. We know Brother Branham said, well, it's just like taking a spoonful of water out of the ocean, right? It's not the whole ocean, but it's a portion of it, and it has all the same chemicals, right? It has all the same characteristics. That portion of life in you is the life that was lived out. The token life proves that you're a child. So I said a moment ago, what if you were faced with legion? Right? What if you were faced with a demon face to face that was speaking back to you? What would you do? The answer is you would show them the token. Now, if you don't have that token, go get it first. We might get into this scripture tonight, but in Acts the 19th chapter, there were some men that were trying to cast out demons. Remember, sons of Sceva, I think it was, right? They were trying to cast out demons. And what did they do? In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of this man. Right? And what did the demons say? Well, Jesus, I know. And this Paul, I know him too. But who are you? Who are you? Now, fair question. Why should we leave? Who are you to tell us that we should leave, right? Now, they did not have an answer. Now, that question might come to you because you're not Jesus and you're not a church age messenger. Right? They may ask you, who are you? But you should have an answer. Your answer should be, you see the Holy Spirit token in my life that proves that I'm a child of God. By that token, I have authority over you. Oh, and by the way, here's my name. So the next time you'll remember. Amen. The Father delights in you. He delighted in Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah 42, He says, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, I have put my Spirit on Him. Whom my soul delighteth. If the Father was well pleased with the whole. Amen. This is important. If the Father was pleased with the whole. Doesn't that mean that He's pleased with, if I could say it this way, every single part? Oh, that makes me want to shout. He's pleased with the whole. Wouldn't He be pleased with the individual portion? Amen. That's represented in your life. When He looks at you, that's what He sees. He sees that part of Him that He is pleased with. Oh, glory to God. Jesus doesn't have bad parts, brother, sister. Amen. The Holy Spirit doesn't have bad parts. The portion that lives in you. The Father is pleased to dwell in you. Oh, hallelujah. If you're a part of Him by His Spirit, then you're as pleasing to the Father as He is. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, let that revelation sink into our hearts. Now, I can tell you that. And you can say, amen, glory to God. But is it real to you? Do you know that that's true for you? How do you expect to live an effective Christian life without that revelation? You can't. You can't face demons. You can't face difficulty. You can't face temptation. You've got to know that. Everything that we do as Christians should start with that foundation. We should live our lives from that place, that position, that starting point. The Father is pleased to dwell in me. That should be our basis of everything. Amen? The Father loves me unconditionally. Yes, I know I'll make mistakes. I put them under the blood. He doesn't see them. He doesn't remember them. He loves me unconditionally. That's how we walk as a son. So, man, brother, this is really simple this morning. Yeah, well, let's get it. Let's get it and walk in it. Let's do the things that Jesus did as a son, because he had a revelation that he was a son. Amen? This is an age. I guess this is why I keep coming back to this. I don't know why. But this is an age of fear. This is an age where the enemy is anointing people with fear. Right? And he's got a 24-hour news cycle. And all it's doing is perpetuating fear. That is his weapon. Amen? That is his, that he loves that. He can anoint with fear and just draw people right in his clutches. If you're not afraid of this, well, we'll find something, right? Whether it's, hey, North Korea is going to bomb us tomorrow. Or, you know, this new thing that we just discovered, now that's going to kill you. I mean, the news cycle is full of every little thing that can kill you. Right? And if that's not enough, then I'll just give you a symptom and then you can go look it up. Right? And it's, you know, I've got a cramp in my stomach because I ate. Well, cramp, let's look it up. Well, what could that be? Man, you're dying. According to the internet, you've got cancer of the stomach and you're dying. How have you even lived this long with that symptom? Right? It's fear. The enemy is in the business of perpetuating fear. Brother Branham said that the church, the problem with the church, is that they are afraid to use the power and authority that they've been given. Well, why are they afraid? I'll flip it around. Why wasn't Jesus afraid? Why wasn't Jesus afraid to walk in the power and authority of his position? Because he knew who he was. He knew he was a son. He knew he was the Son of God. But we're afraid to step out by faith, right? Because we don't come from that place that I know that God loves me unconditionally. No matter what happens, you know, I can't mess this up. I can't not be a son. I'm a son. I'm born. I can't not be that. Once we come to that place, what fear is there that can affect you? You're going to hell. Try something else, Satan. Right? The Father doesn't really love you. I know he does. If I've got a real revelation of it, well, you're going to mess up and then God's going to go, I knew it, and push you out. You know that's not going to happen. You're going to fall flat on your face and people are going to laugh at you. Maybe. But there's still one that I know that loves me. Amen? And I'm not too worried about that. He'll take care of all that other stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, sister, I don't know how many ways I can say it. But the truth is, only he can tell you. Let's stand. I want everyone to bow our heads. Musicians, come play something softly. Jesus modeled sonship. He showed us what it's like to live on the earth as, in his case, the Son, in our case, a Son of God. But the way that it was confirmed to him that he was the Son of God is that the Father told him. So I can preach to you all day long, but until the Father comes and tells you, it's all academic. You can read it in the Bible. You can hear it preached. You can hear it on the tape. But until the Father comes and tells you, it's head knowledge. He has to come and whisper and tell you. Maybe he'll shout it to you. I don't know. But he'll tell you, you are my beloved son or daughter. In you I am pleased to dwell. I am well pleased. So maybe this morning you're not sure. Or maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you've lost sight of his unconditional love for you. I want to encourage you today to seek him. Answer this question. Ask him this question. To have it answered. Father, are you pleased with me? And not just, you know, superficially, but really know it. Is he pleased with me? You've got to really know it this morning. Hey, are you pleasing the Father? Are you a well-pleasing beloved child? He will answer you. He will speak to you. If you don't know, you're not sure, you haven't received it, ask for it. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. They that are hungry and thirsting for righteousness shall be filled. You can have this assurance this morning. Brother, sister, we as a church should be further down the road, living a life of overcoming and power, walking like Jesus walked. But we must know. We must know that we are a son, that we are pleasing to the Father. Just as we play this softly, just your heads bowed, you just reach out to the Father. You just talk it over with him. Let him speak to your heart. Lord, I pray that you move right now, Lord. Oh God, when all the preaching is said and done, Lord, there's nothing like a touch from you. Lord, you speaking to our hearts, Lord, first through your word and then just whispering through that still small voice, oh God. I pray that you speak to your children this morning, Lord. Lord, we're living so far below our privileges. The privilege that we have as children. There's so much more for us, oh God. Such a closer relationship with you, Lord, but we know we can't have it unless we know. We're not wondering anymore, Lord, that you unconditionally love us, Lord, that you're pleased with us, Lord, that we are your children. Father, I pray you go to each seat this morning, Lord. Minister to every heart, Lord God. Those that have been in this a long time, Lord, walking, I pray you renew their faith, Lord. Lord, renew their vision. Remind them, God, that they're a child. Remind them of the power and authority that they have. Lord, those that don't have that token life, oh God, give it to them, I pray, Lord. May they seek it as a precious jewel. Lord, higher, more valuable than anything else in this life. May they never stop, Lord, until they know that they know that they know that they're your child. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. So thankful for the blood, Lord. So thankful for the life that was lived. God. Oh, hallelujah. That we can rest under the sacrifice of that blood, where all of our sins have been washed away. All of our failures and unrighteousness that we'll ever do, we have ever done, Lord, is washed away. So that you would say, I am pleased to dwell in you. Oh, my son, my daughter, who I have washed clean, I'm well pleased in them. Oh, hallelujah. So have your way today, Father. Lord, I pray that you just stir this up in the heart, Lord, of the believer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your precious name, Lord. All things, Lord, in your precious name. Oh, brother, sister, just hold that in your hearts this morning. Let him speak to you as you cry out to him. I'm not living as a son should. I'm not living as a daughter should. I've left things undone. I know I can walk higher. Help me, O Lord. Help me, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hold those things in your heart. We're going to sing softly. He knows your name this morning. You're his child. You're born again of his spirit. You're his child. Offspring of the living God. Hallelujah. Let's walk in that. Let's walk in it. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just sing that softly this morning. He knows my name. I have a Father. He calls me his own. Oh, hallelujah. He'll never leave me. Sister, some of you are still struggling with that this morning. He'll never leave you. I don't care what you've done. This isn't based on your performance. Amen. Oh, now you can grieve the Holy Spirit. That grieves that anointing. Amen. He's a gentleman. You can grieve him. but he'll never leave you or forsake you. You will never stop being his child. Do you realize how sure this is? He will not lose a single one of his children. How we should walk in confidence in that this morning. Amen. Let's sing that same verse again. Sing it with revelation, with confidence. Amen. I have a Father, and he has called me his own. He's never going to leave me. No matter what I go through, no matter where I go, he'll never leave me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a Father this morning. I have. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful for a Heavenly Father this morning. He calls me his.